podcast family. We're back again with our sixth episode of Bank on Learning More, Season 1. My name is Kayla Hittmeyer. I am the Chief Marketing Officer at Land of Lincoln Credit Union and one of your hosts for this show. And I'm sitting here alongside my co-host, hey, Katie.
Hello, everybody.
Are you
able to? Hello, everybody. We're working on new mic situations today.
We are rocking out like a total studio. And when we're done recording this podcast, I am going to record an album because we have the equipment now. I'm just kidding. I'm not going to do that. But I should. But we are here today and we're going to be talking about fending off fraudsters and we have our very own resident expert, Ben Austin. Hello, Ben.
Hi, Kayla. Hi, Katie.
Ben is our chief information officer here at the credit union. So he is the one who is charged with making sure, among other things, you know, how everything goes for our members here and keeping things secure, but also just staying on top of those fraudsters and what they're trying to do and ways to protect us, right?
Right.
Did that pretty much sum up your job?
To a T. I mean, that's exactly what I do every
day. That's it. Fight. You should have a cape.
I should.
You should have a cape.
All IT guys should have a cape.
Katie, we are getting him a cape. So amongst other things, making sure that all of our systems are running smoothly and efficiently, your top priority, I would say, wouldn't you, the security of both our staff and our members. So we're going to chat a little bit about the different scams that happen out there and one of those that are becoming more popular and how to protect themselves. So first of all, let's just get very basic. When someone talks about identity theft or, you know, infringing on their financial information, how does it even happen?
Well, I mean, it happens in a lot of different ways, right? But I would say the most common way for someone to steal your identity, they're just going to call you.
Okay.
They're going to
that simple.
Yeah, that simple. They're going to call you and they're going to impersonate, you know, your credit card company. They're going to impersonate your bank or your credit union. You can take bank out.
We do it all the time.
We go over that.
Because we do bank for you. It's fine. Yes. Don't worry about that.
So they're going to impersonate somebody else.
Right.
Right. And they're going to act all, it's going to be a very urgent phone call.
Okay.
They're going to act very urgent. They need this information right now because you are a victim of fraud, or you need to provide this information right now because we're going to shut off your credit card.
So they want you flustered.
Yes. They want to fluster you and get you, you know, make you make mistakes.
Just panicked.
And they'll ask you questions and you're already panicked. So you give them the answers.
Right.
Then they go off and buy a $500-$600 TV with your
before you blink. Yeah, probably because they're purchasing it online, so they have another desktop right there while they're on the phone with you. And it's so bad. And I get a million. So like these car warranty calls, those are the same kind of things. It's like your car warranty is about to expire or whatever. Ugh, I can't even handle because putting your phone number on a do not call list
doesn't work.
Does not work.
No.
And why doesn't that work? Like, I think federally it's a law, right?
It's a law that they can't... I'm going to get this wrong.
That's okay.
But they don't have to abide by it. And how do you enforce
it? There's loopholes that they can get around. Yeah.
And really, it's not... Most of the time, it's just a machine calling you.
Right. The robo... That's why they call it. If you hear them on the news say robocall, I've seen that a lot in this stuff. So, I want to chat just for a second before we get into ways that people can protect themselves and things to look for, the different types of scams to look for. I found an interesting statistic that was put out, I believe this was by the Federal Trade Commission, that's what it was. And it talks about criminal scam tactics and triggers and what's most popular amongst certain generations. And I just want to put it out there just so that everybody's aware. And then maybe we can talk about maybe why. I think some of them are obvious, but they say ages 11 years old are susceptible. I think probably babies are if you get a social security number. But this talks about 11 to 24. Some of the tactics that are most prevalent are social media requests and chatbots. So they're probably just pushing out social media requests and then acting like a friend.
Right. And, you know, my 12-year-old, he will be like, oh, I got a new friend, and accept.
Yeah, right.
So it's really good to start teaching your youngsters, hey, don't just accept friend requests or messages from anybody. Make sure you actually know this person.
For sure. Yeah. So they can easily get into that. And then and that says some of the triggers are person-to-person payments. So it's all the way up to 24. So I'm assuming that's, you know, teenagers and stuff that maybe are using Venmo. Or yeah, whatever. Mm-hmm. Friend requests. And then from 24 to 40, the more prevalent tactics are robocalls and text messages.
Yes.
I just can't believe that, honestly, there's anyone in that age group that would fall for it, but catch them at a weak moment, yep, I guess. I don't.
And especially when it's something like a hospital is calling you.
Okay.
Where they pretend to be.
Or they can make their phone number look like Land of Lincoln Credit Union, which we've had happen. Yeah.
How many calls I get from Decatur, Illinois numbers, but the person is actually sitting in Bangladesh.
Right.
So.
Yeah. Yeah. And we've had that. So we've had members say, I got a call. They said they were, you know, from the accounts payable Land of Lincoln, and really, it's not us. You know, it's just so crazy how they can make it literally pop up on your caller ID and say Land of Lincoln Credit Union or the hospital, like you said. And I think with that age group, I was looking here and it says something about parcel tracking. Well, they're pretty commonly ordering things off the internet, and it's probably just some way to be like, hey, your shipment. Chances are you've got a shipment coming. So that's what they're doing. They're like, oh, this isn't going to come until you give me your, something was wrong with your credit card number.
Well, they get texts a lot that are, your shipment's on your way, click this link to see where it is. And I can remember if I ordered something or not.
Same. I've done the same thing. So what do you do when you get a text like that? And you think, oh, and sometimes it even says Amazon.
Right.
You are good at educating us, so I ignore it because I know.
Right. If you're not expecting the text, then don't click on the link. Definitely don't click on the link. And if it does say from Amazon, and it is legit from Amazon, right? Still, don't click on the link. Go to the Amazon website.
And check out your orders.
Use their mobile app.
Yes, that's a good point.
And check the tracking that way.
Yeah. So what can happen if somebody clicks on one of those links?
Typically what happens, you click on a link. Sometimes... not so much on a phone, but...
Because they have a little bit better security.
Right, okay. You could download a virus or download malware or something like that.
Right.
But most likely, it's going to ask you personal information. Oh, hey, to get this tracking information, we need your... Okay. This probably wouldn't happen, but your social security number.
Right.
Or your credit card number.
Your credit card was bad.
Yeah.
Didn't go through or something.
Yeah. And then you put all that information in, hit submit, and they have all of your personal information.
Okay. Which from a desktop perspective, I know you mentioned it might be a little bit different with malware. We'll get into that in a second. But the next age category, 41 to 65, then it goes to emails. Emails become asking financial information, interest rates, and parcel tracking. And then the 57 to 75, it's just mainly robocalls.
Yeah.
I don't answer my phone if I don't know the caller ID. That's probably bad, but does anyone?
I don't answer it.
No.
I don't answer it.
But I know we go through training here for elder abuse, you know, and being able to recognize it. And I know that some of they can really make it seem, like you said, that urgency, or maybe it's for a loved one, and they're... A lot of times they're just spitballing, throwing it out there, and it strikes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you sit there and wonder what these criminals sitting on the phone, how many times they have to go through somebody before it finally takes. But when it takes and they give money.
Right.
It's bad.
Yeah. And they keep going back to the same person. If you've given them money once, chances are you're going to give them money again.
This is scary stuff.
It is.
So let's talk about some basic ways that someone can protect themselves. What are good practices to protect yourself from that identity, some identity theft, basic things?
Yeah. I mean, the most basic thing is don't click on a link if you weren't expecting it. Don't, especially if it's an email.
Okay. Because that's what when somebody out there hears phishing.
Yes.
Not F-I. S-H, P-H-I-S-H, phishing.
Yes.
Okay.
Don't click on the link. Okay. If you're not expecting the email or the text, just ignore it, delete it. Mm-hmm. That's the most basic way to do it.
Okay. And they can make, I'm going to elaborate because you've educated us well. They can make the person that the email is coming from look like a legitimate... Mm-hmm.
Yes,
it can look. It can even be somebody in your contacts.
It can be. And if you weren't expecting that email...
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead and give them a call or shoot them an email and say, hey, are you trying to get in touch with me?
Right.
And one of the biggest ones is it'll come from, we mentioned Amazon.
Right.
It'll look like it came from Amazon.
Right.
Or it'll look like it came from your financial institution.
Right.
Go ahead and call your bank or your credit union and ask if they sent something. Ask if this is legitimate.
Mm-hmm.
Then you know.
Yeah, yeah. That's just the best way. And I know you can kind of hover over website addresses or right click or something and see if the email address is actually right? Or legitimate?
Yeah. A lot of times you can hover over it and okay. the link, the actual text of the link will pop up.
And it doesn't look anything like it, so you can tell.
No.
But you can't always tell.
Right.
With that one. Okay.
Right. That one's tough.
All right. So aside from email and calls, mm-hmm. What are some other common, let's see. I know that we had, wanted to ask your opinion on some of these things mm-hmm. that I found here, Ben. The Macon County State's Attorney here in town, Scott Reeder, is the Macon County State's Attorney. And I know I had recalled from one of them speaking at a chamber event that they do a lot to try to assist, especially elder fraud. Mm-hmm. They want to try to stop it and get to the bottom of it and educate, you know, our elders in the communities on what to look for and what not to fall victim to. So they have posted, if you ever want to go to their website, just Google Macon County State's Attorney, but they've posted what are some common scams here in Macon County specific mm-hmm. to us. One of the top of the list is the you've won a prize.
Right. I mean, that's a good one, right? Who doesn't want to collect a prize?
That's great. Right. So they'll come on. What do? They say you've won a prize and then they, to redeem it, they need info?
Yep. To redeem the prize. And typically the prize is, you know, $100 to Starbucks or a $100 right. Target gift card.
Okay.
And, oh, but we need all this personal information, including your credit card info to
right.
for you to claim this prize.
Oh, goodness.
It's, yeah.
Goodness, you just think to yourself that there can't be anybody out there that doesn't know, but there are that mm-hmm. just, they don't, you know.
Yeah, and unfortunately, it happens to the younger kids.
Yeah.
And then the older generations.
That's what I was reading, which surprised me. I thought it would be something exclusive to maybe that older generation who's not as technologically savvy. But I read that the younger ones too.
Mm-hmm.
You don't just know trusting? Until it happens to you.
Okay.
That's my
well,
first.
That's it?
Yeah. I had a phone call for my debit card, and they said it was my bank identity, my debit card number. I was probably 17.
Okay.
I entered it in.
God bless
yada,
you.
Yada, hung up. And thought, that's not right. And immediately called my bank.
Oh, well,
so
that's true.
You don't
true.
Know until like, don't, it happens.
You have to have the experience,
like,
I guess.
That
yeah.
was weird.
And then, so along the same lines, there's another one here. You've been selected to receive a government grant.
Mm-hmm.
Grandma, I need money. Callers claim to be a grandchild stranded in another state or a foreign country who need travel funds.
And I mean, that's a classic example of you put grandma in distress because she thinks her grandkid is in trouble.
Right.
And so grandma's going to do whatever she can, you know, to help her grandkid out.
Yeah. And that's what, this is a speculation here, but I know I've seen a couple things that's making me think of it. I think we've become such a sharing public on social media
mm-hmm.
that if there's a grandma out there that's sharing, oh, my grandson's in Afghanistan serving or whatever, and mm-hmm. now we've given them information
right.
to use, that's just what that's called social engineering.
It's called social engineering.
Ben's really good at teaching us. I remember that training. So another one was we've detected a problem with your home computer. Oh, you mentioned this one earlier.
That one, well, so that one takes different forms too. A lot of times you'll be browsing the internet and mm-hmm. just minding your own business mm-hmm. and even go to Amazon. But from a previous time you've been on the internet, something downloads into your browser, right?
Okay.
And it just pops up. Oh, hey, you've got a virus.
Right.
If you want to clean, click here to, and we'll get rid of it for you.
I've had that.
So that's scary too,
so that's
right?
just like a worm that comes from a certain site.
Yeah.
A bad
yeah.
site that you've stumbled upon.
Right.
Okay. Not good. So how do you detect when they call and say there's a problem with your computer? Well, first of all, I'm assuming no one will really call and tell you they've detected it.
No.
Shouldn't be.
They should, right? I mean, because who would it be? Like, how do you know? You
yeah.
know? Like,
right.
So if somebody calls with that one, just hang up the phone. You missed jury duty is a popular one in Macon. So they pretend to be law enforcement officers telling victims they failed to appear for jury duty and a warrant has been issued for their arrest.
I can almost guarantee you that if a warrant is issued for your arrest, you're not going to be
calling.
You're not calling. They're going to show up on your doorstep.
You should run now.
First of all, do you have a warrant out for your arrest if you don't show up for jury duty? Is
no.
that a thing?
No.
Okay, all right.
I don't think so. I mean, we could ask Nate.
He
would
know. True. We'll have to ask our resident fella here that used to work, what was it, for the
Decatur Police Department.
Oh, my goodness. He would know then, yeah. But because I have never gotten jury duty, so I don't know. But now I'm going to go because I'm terrified that someone's going to come after me. But evidently, the callers pressure the victims into sending a large sum of money or a prepaid debit card to avoid lengthy time in jail.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Another one, you owe a tax penalty to the IRS. We had another guest, Cody Buckley, on mm-hmm. a couple episodes back who was talking about that specific one. He's like, you wouldn't believe how many people, they just get terrified.
Yeah. Because
they're like, mm-hmm. oh my gosh, did I not file his taxes right and send money immediately, you know?
Right. If I get a letter from the IRS, I'm going to take it to Cody.
Yes, right. You know? Like, just take it to your accountant.
Right.
And don't even send them anything until you talk to, or even if you don't have an account, take it to H&R Block. They can probably tell you to, or look online. I don't know.
And another one is the IRS. They always... Was that a call? The IRS
will call you? That one was a call, yeah.
I don't think the IRS actually calls you. They're going to send you a letter.
They don't call you when you've done everything right. They're just backlogged. They don't do anything. They don't pay you on time. They don't call you.
Right.
Some of the other ones, I'll just skim through them. You owe the power company. You owe money for an old debt or for a product. We've detected a problem with your credit card account. Mm-hmm. That's definitely one. I think you see all of these in email too, right?
Yes.
A lot of them will come in email.
And with the power company, I do not think, we'd have to check this, but I don't think in the state of Illinois, your power can be shut off in the winter.
Okay.
So
that makes sense.
One less thing to worry about.
Yeah. So don't worry about it. Your loved one's in jail, needs bond money, caller ID spoofing. So that's what we talked about earlier. That's like faking the land link and phone number.
Yep.
Okay. So they can, it's just crazy to me that they can make a phone number just to sign a name to it.
It is.
I don't envy you as to trying to stay ahead of these criminals with where they're going all the time. Mm-hmm. They find new ways to scam every day.
Right, right. It's constant education.
Yeah.
Educating our members, educating our staff.
Right.
And you're right, it's hard to stay ahead.
I would imagine a lot of times it's playing catch up, and I would sit there with my head reeling going, how did they even think of that one, you know?
Right.
But they're just looking for any type of weakness in the system that they can exploit, and it's just crazy to me. Panhandlers. That's an interesting one. And I know I'm getting out of the range of your expertise as far as online and financial security, but I thought we could at least chat about this because there's so many now.
Uh-huh.
They're just everywhere. And they have this on our Macon County State's Attorney site because there's a lot of them in the street. And I know I've talked to a few of my friends who are in law enforcement talking about how they're like little scam circles.
Mm-hmm.
Like just they work the certain assignments and they bring the money in. And so just... I'm going to tell you right now, my PSA to you is don't give them money.
Right.
Charitable organizations, home repair fraud, the paid to drive or car wrap scam.
I have not heard of that one.
Me neither.
I like if they send you a check that they'll wrap your car in their branding.
Oh.
Oh, and they'll pay you to do it.
Yes. And then I don't really know how the fraud works.
Well, let's just look here.
I think you have to send money back to them from the check that they send you.
The fraud starts with an email. They offer several $100 per week to simply put their brand name logo on your car or while you drive around. Mm-hmm. If the victim agrees, the scammers send a check in excess of the agreed amount. Victim is directed to send the excess back via wire transfer. The checks are fictitious and never clear the bank. The victim is held responsible for the money wired.
Yep.
Yeah.
Ridiculous. All right. So let's talk a little bit more about how we protect ourselves. You said to delete the emails and such and just ignore that. What else can we do?
If someone calls you, right? Yeah. Slow the interaction down.
Okay.
Try to remain.
Like hang up.
Yeah, hang up. That's always a good one. If you know for sure, but if you somehow get sucked into talking to them.
And you think, is this legit? If it sounds a little real to you?
Right. Okay. Ask a lot of questions.
Okay.
Slow down. And if they ask for any personally identifying information over the phone, you know it's a scam. Especially if they initiated the call.
Right. Okay. It's
different if you initiated the call to your credit union and they're asking for, you know, proof of your identity.
Right.
But somebody initiated the call and they're asking for that, hang up right there.
Okay. All right. What about online security? So is it safe to use a mobile banking app and all these different things?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. It's completely safe to use Land of Lincoln's mobile banking app.
Right.
And our online banking.
So what do you need to do to protect yourself there?
For one, we have the ability to change our usernames in online banking.
All right.
So make sure your username is not your account number, has nothing to do with your account number.
Okay.
That
makes sense.
Yep.
Because once they have that, they have that.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's a super easy thing to change. If you have problems, call in.
Okay. How often do you need to change your password? I know you're going there. We may as well just.
Yeah. Okay. So.
And why does it have to be 4,000 miles long? And
if you have a password that is, let's say, 15 characters long.
Okay.
And it has a mix of numbers, letters, symbols, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You could probably get away from changing your password on a super
regular basis.
Okay. Use a passphrase. that, you know, basically a sentence and throw in some special characters in there.
That's, yeah, you've talked about like maybe use like an obscure song lyric that you'll remember or a line from a movie that you remember that's maybe not commonly known or
and throw in like an exclamation point for a one or a one for an you know, just kind of mix in some
dollar
letters.
Sign for an S.
Yeah. You can if you have a shorter password, and please don't make it 123456789 or something ridiculous like that, or password
or the PIN number
or the PIN number, but you probably want to change it every, I don't know, 3 months.
Oh my gosh, I've already failed. What about using the same password for several sites?
Don't do that.
That's a big no-no.
That's a big no-no, because once they've cracked one password,
they got them all.
They've got them all, and it's easy to figure out your username.
Are you good about that, Katie?
No, I am not.
Me neither.
Yes, I am. Don't hack me.
I am at work. I will be honest with you. I am very diligent with, I mean, I'm dealing with a lot of people's information. Mm-hmm. I'm not so smart with myself. Like, sometimes I'm just lazy. Mm-hmm. So what about, let's say you're being the perfect online citizen and you have a different password for all of them, but you don't remember them all. Mm-hmm. So you want to keep them somewhere.
Right. Use a password manager. And use something.
So is that like an app?
Yeah. So I personally use LastPass.
Okay.
You have a master password, which you make fairly
really
complex
hard.
And
yes.
hard. But
much
then,
worse.
Right? You almost got me there.
You're such a scammer, Katie. Jeez.
But yeah, I mean, they have, there's a mobile app for it. There are plugins for your browser.
Okay.
So, and it will actually create a 20, 25 character password for you.
Oh, handy.
For all your sites that you log into.
Is it free?
Is there
like a subscription service?
There is a free version. There's a subscription that I think it's, most of them are super cheap.
Okay. Okay. So what about any other tidbits you can offer? We've covered the password, changing your username, deleting emails, not clicking on links. Anything else you can think of?
You know, make sure your antivirus software is up to date.
All right.
If you use a Windows, if you have Windows 10 or something like that, there's already a decent built-in antivirus software.
Okay.
You know, just... That's basically it.
Yeah.
You know, strong passwords.
Right.
Don't use personal information in your usernames.
Right. Okay. So let's skip forward a little bit to, we didn't do all that. Somebody was not very smart and they've had a breach of what's happening here. You know, somebody has tapped into their account. They start seeing, that's the other thing that you can do, is make sure you really look at your statements each month, credit card, bank, and make sure that you are, you know, going over them to make sure that there's not fraudulent charges on there, which if you have them and you're with any financial institution, call, and most they're insured. Mm-hmm. We're going to help you take care of that. But say you've gotten there now and it's kind of getting out of control. There were a bunch of charges. Maybe you've even lost your checkbook. They write checks. What are some things they can do to try to remedy that? I know I can answer some from the financial counseling perspective, but what about online, and what do they need to do to just kind of reset?
Yeah, that's a tough one, right? You always want to file a police report first. One other thing to, I guess, if they're applying for credit cards or trying to get credit in your name, and actually it's probably a good practice anyway. If you know you've been compromised, then put a hold on your credit.
Okay.
And that call is
The credit bureaus.
Yeah, the credit bureaus.
One of the three credit bureaus.
Yeah.
And you can do them online. I know I've had to do it at one time. Or they can do like a freeze where you can still apply for some type of loan or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But with the freeze, they have to call you to verify you're actually applying for it. So you can do that with any of the credit bureaus. Okay, that's good advice.
Yeah, change all of your passwords.
Right.
I mean, it's a pain, but chances are, like we talked about, if they've got one, they've got them all.
Right.
And
I like that you said the app that you were talking about, the password manager, has plugins, because that's the thing. Sometimes you'll have saved passwords on one browser or whatever, and you're like, okay, I got to go over here to this app and enter it in, you know, but this way it just kind of automatically retrieves it.
Right. And I mean, another thing, if you haven't turned on two-factor authentication or multi-factor authentication for your online services or
okay, what is that? Let's just break it down.
Right. So the simplest way is that I can explain it. You log in with your username or password, and then I know here at Land of Lincoln, you get a text for online banking with a one-time code that you put in.
Okay. So is that two-factor?
That's two-factor.
So it's given, and that means basically it's giving an extra step of security. Yes. Okay,
so
gotcha.
You can't log in unless you have that code.
Got it.
A couple other things you can download, like I think the Authenticator app from Microsoft.
Okay.
That you, it basically gives you a code on your phone once okay. you've synced it to the website you're using.
Gotcha.
Stuff okay. like that.
So a multi-factor, I'm going back to this just to educate myself. That's when like maybe you may have like a couple questions, security questions in there.
That's one way.
Okay.
I mean, multi-factor just means, in my opinion,
more
two or more.
Two. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it could be any there's, different type. But
right.
Different
there's probably a real definition.
But. Right. Yeah. But that makes sense. All right. Well, I think this has been really helpful. The last thing that I want to leave you guys with, and then I'll let you, if you want, have anything you want to wrap up or throw in there, is if you suspect any kind of fraud or if you have concerns that what you're, it doesn't matter if it is something that appears to be from Land and Link Credit Union or not, we're here and happy to help you. Just give us a call. Chances are we've had some form of communication with members along the same, very same lines, mm-hmm. and we can talk you through it. But I do want to point out that the Macon County State's Attorney's website also offers the Elder Fraud Hotline. And it doesn't, it says Elder Fraud, but you can call and report any kind of fraud because they'll pass it along to the Macon County Sheriff's Office as well. But that's 217-615-7582. Don't just, you know, be wondering about it. Go ahead and call them and let them investigate mm-hmm. it and let them see. But any finishing thoughts? Be safe.
Strong passwords and turn on multi-factor.
Strong passwords, multi-factor. That's mm-hmm. the lesson for the day. All right. Well, thank you, Ben.
You're welcome.
It's been really, really, really helpful. Thank you, Katie, for always being my sidekick. And thank you to all of our podcast listeners. We are so happy that you guys are tuning in for all of our episodes. We have a couple more coming to you for this season, so stick around with us. Subscribe. Check in on Mondays. That's when we drop our new episodes. And in the meantime, we want you to bank on learning more.